ask you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, we're considering this virtuous woman and that which the Lord has given to women. And there's quite a bit mentioned about it. And this isn't a thing to run down our ladies or anything like that. It's just the thing that we need to know. We need to teach our daughters and ladies know and understand. Maybe we might have a short in the mic. I want to tell you about this booklet, 6,000-year-old Earth. Brother Wayne Reynolds has put this together some years ago. It's a really good work. I refer to it from time to time. I was reminded about it this time when I referred to it. And what it is essentially a timeline. A brother's got timelines in here about all the different genealogies that are in the Scripture. That lets us know who came after who and when and all that. But also about when different prophets lived. And it also gives us the age of the earth, okay? And so if you would be interested in getting one of these, let me know. I'll be glad to get one for you. We can do so. And it's a good reference. What this book can do for you is kind of help you in your mind to be able to put the Scripture in order about how because the Scripture doesn't come to us necessarily in order. And it lets you put that in order, and then different events and different characters and folks in the Scripture and where their place was at and all that. And it just helps out about that. So I wanted to mention that to you in referring to it. If you want to... We're going to have to kill this thing, brother. Oh, here it is. I found it. It's not plugged in. All right. So you're welcome to look at it. And if you want your own copy, this is not it. Okay? All right, but I'll get you one. Okay, be glad to get you one. And here in Proverbs chapter 12, the scripture here, we'll just use this, where our encompassing subject is the headship of Christ that's manifested and seen in our relationships, and we're at this relationship of being a wife. And what the Scripture says about that, it's not by any means to beat up on ladies, but it's to understand what the Scripture says about being a woman, being a wife, being a lady. And we've seen in the Scriptures in 1 Peter about how it says that the wife is the weaker vessel. But even in the woman, the wife being a weaker vessel, the Lord has given a virtue. He's given a power to women that needs to be used right. Is this to say that women are more wicked and evil than men? No. For every woman we can find in the Scripture, we can find a dozen men that were wicked and evil and misused their power. What you find is that, and we find it manifested in the Scripture, men use authority and power in a right way, a good way, a wicked way. What we find in the Scripture, we see that is that women can misuse that all, use power wrong, but then they can also use that power that they have in being a woman and their femininity in that. They can use that wrong too. And so we want to guard against that. We want to see why it is that there are more Scriptures written to wives about their behavior and the pursuit of being a wife, pursuit of that than there are written to husbands. Husbands aren't off the hook any on being the right kind of husband that would be pleasing to the Lord, but there's more written to wives. And so we've taken a look at that, and this is part of our pursuit of this regarding a wife. And here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 4, the Scripture says, "A virtuous woman," or if you will, a powerful woman, a forceful woman, a woman with ability. "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband when she uses that the Lord's given her right. But she that does not use it, she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness to his bones." And so last time when we dealt with this subject, we looked at some women. We looked at Eve and Tamar and Delilah. We considered about Jezebel. And we want to take a look over here in Mark chapter 6, and let's take a look at another couple of women. They were related, and how they used this virtue, this power, their femininity in a wrong way to accomplish a wicked end. Okay, and so we want to be helped in this. We want to be warned in this. We want to be made aware of this, that these things do exist. Here in Mark chapter 6, we'll pick it up in verse number 14. And King Herod heard of him, that is Jesus, Mark 6:14, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. So that the Herod hears of Jesus, he hears of his miracles, he hears of how prolific they are, how undeniable that they are in the ministry of the Lord, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. So he's thinking that John the Baptist is raised from the dead. Now it gives us some history, or it's going to say a couple things, and then we'll get the history of it. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. So different ones said, no, it's not John the Baptist, but it's Elijah, or it's this one, or that one, or maybe even some testified that it was Christ. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded, for he is risen from the dead. So he's kind of fearful that John was come back from the dead to get him, maybe. Okay. And so we go on here, and now we find out the history. Verse 17, for Herod himself is sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Okay, so Herod has a brother. His name is Philip. And historically, I'm going back in a study that I did some time ago about the Herods and that Herodian line. And if I remember right, Herod took a trip to Rome, and his brother Philip was at Rome, and this is historical information, and there he met his sister-in-law. And there, historically, we understand that they essentially conspired against Herod's brother Philip, and that she saw a better deal in going back to Judea with Herod than staying in Rome with Philip. It seems like Philip he was responsible maybe for a region north of Judea, and his political situation wasn't faring too well, okay? And so she was like a rat, and I say that for real, she was like a rat jumping off the ship, okay? And they had a daughter, or she had a daughter, at least, as the Scripture bears out. So this is what what had happened. In verse number 18, it says, for John the Baptist, had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Okay? And if I understand it right, see, Herod is of a line that had made covenant with Rome. He is Jewish himself, or at least partly Jewish himself. Whether it is or not, I mean, John tells him the truth, but I think that there is that connection. That line of the Herods, they intermarried with the Jews, so they had that political ability and connection with the people and with the region, so they could rule better. But they were traitors to the nation of Israel. They were in it for themselves and what they could hire out to Rome to do and have their own kingdom. So John stands up to him, and he says, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Whose law? God's law. You're not supposed to, she was married to him, and it's adultery for you to take her to you. He's still alive. It should not be. Therefore, verse number 19, Herodias had a quarrel against him, that is the woman, Philip's wife, that he had taken, and would have killed him, but she couldn't get it worked out. Okay, so this is a woman that hates a man because of him telling the truth. He's not telling a lie against her or against the situation, but he's telling the truth. And here we see about Herodias, looking for the better deal, it seems. That seems to jive with what we understand historically. The history that we have could be wrong, okay? We always need to understand that. But it does seem to jive because she would have killed John the Baptist if she could, but she just couldn't get it worked out. Couldn't get it accomplished yet. And so for Herod feared John, verse 20, knowing that he was a just man and holy. He was a man of God. Herod didn't necessarily understand all about that, but he knew that John had a power about him and he had an ability about him that had never been seen. And understand, this is Herod before whom the Lord Jesus Christ will stand before here in some 3 years or so. Okay, but I believe it's the same fella, and he's in control. I mean, he'd have you dead like that. But he feared John because of John's testimony, John's boldness, and that which John preached. He knew he was a just man and holy and observed him. Now, he did take him prisoner, but he wasn't looking to put him to death. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So he was even willing to bring John up out of prison to hear what he had to preach and what he had to say. And when a convenient day was come, the opportunity, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, and that's right, he is ruler over Galilee rather than Judea. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel. So there's this day. Herod's throwing a big party, and he's inviting everybody in, and it's just a big old blowout. I mean, it's just a big time that he's made for the sake of his birthday. There, Herodias sees the opportunity. And so she has her daughter dance before Herod. Now, look what it says here. It says in verse 22 that she danced, came in and danced, and he was pleased. And everybody that was there sitting with him, who was that? His lords, his high captains, his chief estates of Galilee, they were pleased. And the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware, verse 23, unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee into the half of my kingdom. You can have up to half of what I control and what I've got. Could he have been drunk? Yeah, that's a possibility. It's certainly a possibility. Did this woman that danced before him behave well? She did not. She could Herod physically have beat her up and dominated her? Yes, he could have. I mean, she was a woman. He's a king, and we know what kind of, we don't know what kind of shape he's in. But from a standpoint of authority and government and ability and power, if he couldn't physically take her captive and abuse her or kill her or something like that, you know, under the physical dominance, he could have had somebody do it because of his authority and his place. But rather, this woman's power prevailed over a man in authority. Hear that? She used her femininity, her body, her ability to dance. She danced. And he was willing to give her half of what he had. She did not use it well, did she? She did not use it right. And we don't know. The scripture doesn't bear it out, but I would suspicion Herod liking it. I would suspicion that she was not clothed well. She was not probably likely not clothed modestly. She certainly didn't move modestly, and that she danced. She danced to please this man and those that were there in his court. And so she gets an offer from the man that she can have up to anything that he's got, up to half of what he owns. Now, is there anything for which you would give half of what you own? You don't have to answer that. Because when we start doing the evaluation, it's very, very little that we would esteem to be worth giving half of what we physically own. Right? And we would maybe give it for the sake of our family or for our kids, right? Somebody's really ill or sick or something like that, right? You know, maybe we, peradventure, we would give it for one another in the church. But this man was so moved by the behavior of this woman that he was willing to give her half of what he owned. Her behavior was not good, was it? And we know that it's so, and we see this effect in this man of position and power, a man that can have men put to death at his word. He became subject. In a sense, he was forced by this woman's behavior and her dancing and her lack of modesty and a lack of exercising her femininity and using her femininity correctly. And so he makes this offer to her. Verse 24, "And she went forth and said unto her mother," so she consulted with Herodias, "what shall I ask?" And she said, "the head of John the Baptist." That's what we want today. You know why? Because the stuff won't be any problem with the stuff. Because if he can be moved this way once, he can be moved this way again. And Herodias wanted John the Baptist dead. And so what happens? Well, we hear about what happened to our brother, the head of John the Baptist. Verse 25, "And she came in and straightway with haste unto the king and said, and asked, saying, I will if thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her." Okay, he made the offer. He had no thought that it would result in that. And he regretted it, but because of giving his word, he wouldn't turn her down. "And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger, or a plate, and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother." Well, that's just sickening, isn't it? So said, okay. We don't know if he tried to talk her out of it or whatever. We just know that he said, okay, go get John's head. And they waited for a while. And then the charger was brought in. And there's our brother's head on it. And he gave it to the damsel. Said, okay, it's what you want. Here you got it. And then she takes it. She runs and takes it to her mother. Said, here you go, Mama. We've got it. He's dead. And so here we have an example, a New Testament example, of women not using, not operating modestly, not operating with good behavior, but operating to wickedness with their femininity. They had no physical power over this king. They had no army backing them up. They had no elite group of soldiers or fighters or men or specialists that they could take and threaten Herod with. They used their virtue, their power, their femininity, the force that they had in being women. They took that, used it wrong on a man. And he succumbed. He was guilty. I'm not saying that he's off the hook in any way, but we see how it can be. And so, in verse 29, "And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb." And so there we have John the Baptist's death and the result of this impropriety and this wicked way of these women. It's sad, isn't it? Sad. Now, have men, you know, males, have they contrived such wickedness? Yes. Okay. So it's not, we're not saying at all, nor does it indicate in the scripture that women are more wicked than men. That's not the point at all. It's just that we need to understand this issue about the, and ladies, you need to understand that so you can use it well, use it right, operate modestly and operate in the right way to be able to be faithful to your husband or your husband-to-be and to help those men in the world that you have contact with and your brethren in the church and all that to not be a snare or a hurt or a temptation one to another. And just as we men, we need to behave ourselves well too. We want to consider some of the writings of Solomon, okay? And so we're heading towards the book of Proverbs. I want to read something, another account here. It's kind of a little bit different, but the same. In 1 Kings chapter 11, take a look over here. 1 Kings chapter 11, another example. And, you know, there's no better thing for us to do, as we say and say and say and say again, to follow the Lord's way. Following the Lord's way is the best place of blessing, the best place of help that we have. I want to read here in 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's read in verse number 1, a few verses here. And see here, King Solomon, greatly blessed of the Lord because of the faithfulness of his father, greatly blessed of the Lord because of his request of the Lord for wisdom rather than for riches and honor and the life of his enemies and such as that, or long life for himself. He requested of the Lord when the Lord asked him for wisdom to rule over the Lord's people. Let's read here in 1 Kings 11 about Solomon. And again, we're heading towards Proverbs ultimately. We won't be able to do it today, but we want to lay this groundwork. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, that doesn't mean that they were like freak shows, you know, that they were, you know, had horns sticking out of the head and, you know, different problems with it. That's not what it means. What it means, the reference to strange women here is women that he should have nothing to do with. Okay? They were strange. They were estranged to him. And that's a problem with Solomon, is he was looking for a woman in the wrong place. Okay? And young men, take that advice and that directive of the Lord. Young ladies, take that directive from the Lord. Look for your spouse in the right place. Look for the character and what the Word of God says that you should look for in a spouse. He loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, men of the Moabites and the Ammonites. And as you read it, you just get heavier and heavier, don't you? The Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. Ugh. Of all of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, these nations, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. No marriage is made between the nation of Israel and they, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And so he's just looking in the wrong place. The Lord said, don't. And I've said it before, as you that are here and not married, you know, as you consider in the course of time, the course of life, you consider a spouse, you know, just don't have a short checklist about, well, they're this and this and this, so everything's great and that's all good. Well, you need to find out about their heart, find out about what their motive is, find out what their directive is, find out, you know, what motivates them, you know, communicate with them first spiritually. And then from the standpoint of the soul, you know, what you think and what you're pursuing about life and what you want. And then lastly, in marriage, physically. And the world's got that backwards. Okay? First, we'll experiment physically, and then we'll investigate about our souls and our likes and that. And then if there's time, we'll check out spiritual things. It's a reverse order. It's a reverse order in the way that it should not be according to the world, but that's the way it should be according to the Lord. Spirit, soul, and then physical in marriage. Look at this. Verse 3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh. Listen to this. The abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem. Jerusalem's built there, and it's said that Jerusalem's built on seven hills. I don't know if that's really so or not. I've not investigated that for myself. But there, where, and Jerusalem is up, you know, its elevation is high. It's the reason Scripture talks about going up to Jerusalem. But there, answering to Jerusalem was another hill, and Solomon built that place there to where Jerusalem could see it, up against it. Over on the next hill, one of those hills around Jerusalem, and he built it there. Listen, the abomination of Moab and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and from Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord, verse number 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And they commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but will rend it out of thy hand with thy son, Rehoboam. Right? I believe that's right. Jeroboam and Rehoboam is who the kingdom was divided amongst. Howbeit, I will not rend it away in all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, thy servant, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. You know what they did at those places? They would, they would conceive a child, or even the whorish worship of those false gods, a child would be conceived, and the child would be delivered, and the child would be sacrificed. Right there up against Jerusalem. I understand historically that Molech, the image that they would build to Molech, would have outstretched arms that would be at an incline towards his belly, and that's where they would build the fire. And they would take those children and roll them down those arms, and they would be killed in that. It's terrible. We're doing the same thing with abortion today, aren't we? As a nation. Same thing. I noticed on a billboard the other day, 53 million children. You know, liberal thinking has brought us to that in our nation, and the lack of God's people standing up and saying, no, we don't want that. And our population, if I understand it right, I think we're right around 305, 320 million in the United States of America. Almost one-sixth of our potential population has been killed off. As one person said, our in a sense, okay, not saying that all those would have been, but in a sense, all of our labor has been killed off. Interesting how we end up in the plight we are today. Huh? We're upside down in many things in our nation. And then if you took half of those, and here's the folly of going about a way against God. Those that would pursue a liberal way have killed off half of that, 25 million of their own folks that would vote for them. Isn't that something? They're essentially killing off themselves. You take half of those children, if half of them would have turned out to be of a liberal way, they've killed off half of that potential. 25 million in an election make a big difference for them. But that's the folly of following after sin. So Solomon is here, and he had to do with these strange women. And you know what they did? They used the power, they used the virtue, the power, the ability that they had, and their femininity in that. They used it in a wicked way. Solomon was a willing accomplice. He's not off the hook. I'm not saying that. Ladies, they used what the Lord gave them and the feminine gender, and they used it in a way into wickedness. Lord help. But that's not the way it is with us. We don't need to use what the Lord gives us to the way of wickedness. We need to use it towards the way of righteousness. Look here in 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. This goes on for a lot of years, and towards the end of Judah and what's left of the nation of Israel, we read this in 2 Kings 23. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests. Who are we talking about here? The scripture speaking to us, Josiah, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. This was read before Josiah, and he rent his clothes and was troubled by the reading of the word of God that was found, and that was read before him. And he said, no wonder the evil of God, the judgment of God is upon us because we and our fathers have been wicked before God, and He is judging us. So He causes this to be read in verse 2, and He read in their ears all the words of the book of this covenant, which is found in the house of the Lord. Verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel, which is up north. So all this stuff that had been put in the temple unto Baal, it was taken out and it was burned, and then they hauled the ashes off. And he put down the idolatrous priest, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah. He put them down. And the places round about Jerusalem. And them also that burned incense unto Baal, and to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. You know, the Lord has put all those things there. And it's interesting to learn about the sun and the moon and all the planets and all that that the Lord's put in the host of heaven. But we're not to worship it. And you know what? It can't tell us anything about the future, the past, or anything in between other than what it does, what the Lord's put in motion for it to do. But it won't tell you what your future is. Don't worry about your sign because it is no sign. Okay? And so all those things are put down. Verse 6, And he brought out of the grove of the house of the Lord without Jerusalem under the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it to small powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba unto Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. So that's some of that stuff that Solomon built. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun and worshiping the sun. There was an offering of horses there in the corrals and probably in the corrals that the king had. They were there dedicated to that at the entering of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And so they had not only these horses, but the chariots too. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh, who reigned 55 years and was a bloody, bloody man till the Lord saved him, had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth and for the abomination of the Zidonians and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. He tore them up and tore them down and broke them up. And he brake in pieces the images and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Verse 15, moreover, the altar that was in Bethel, that was up north, that Jeroboam built, and the high place with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, hath made both the altar and the high place. He brake down and burned the high place and stamped it to small powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar, that same altar in Bethel, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. We were talking about that in between services here a few weeks ago. And he said, what title is that that I see? They run across a grave here. And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of that of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. So here Josiah is raised up by the Lord, and he ends up destroying much of what's there in Jerusalem by other wicked kings, but there's that which dates yet all the way back to Solomon's day that never had been undone. And how did it get that way with Solomon? Well, Solomon turned away from the Lord. And there were wicked women that Solomon yielded to. He's guilty, but so are they. And that wickedness prevailed all the way until the day of Josiah. We've got to watch out how we use what the Lord's given us, don't we? You know how many years this has been? From the end of the reign of Solomon to the beginning of the reign of Josiah has been 335 years. May the Lord help us to look out for what we do. That's where I use the book here. Now, if you're interested in seeing how you can use it that way, let me know. But 335 years from the end of the reign of Solomon and his succumbing to those strange women and their misuse of that which God had given them in their virtue and their power and their ability and their femininity, they misused that. They didn't use it in a righteous way and keep it for their husband, and walk a discreet, righteous, chaste way, but they rather used it wickedly and turned the heart of a king. And the result of that plagued those people for centuries. May the Lord help us to realize that what we do, what I do now, what you do now, does affect the future. It doesn't just affect now. It affects the future. So, in closing, I want you to read Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Maybe this passage has kind of been a confusion or troubling to you, and so I want to try it. There's, in times past, it has been to me too. We read after Solomon, you know, we have the Word of God. It's been inspired by the Lord. He's included it in the Scripture. We have it in the text that we've received. It's there. But we might be tempted to say, oh man, you know, we don't want to follow after a man's writings that's got a bad attitude or a bad way. Well, understand about Solomon. What we're going to read here in Ecclesiastes, it tells about what he thinks and what he's found in his heart. But you got to remember, this man was looking in the wrong place for a spouse. He was not following what the Lord had given to search out a spouse. But he had sought out his own way and sought after these strange women that the Scripture plainly says took away his heart in the misuse of what they had. A good woman would have done Solomon good, wouldn't she? But he didn't want a good woman. And look what it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 25. Of course, the preacher of Solomon writes this, and I seem to agree with the brethren that have said that this seems these... The Proverbs and Ecclesiastes seems to be have been written at the end of Solomon's life when he has done what he's done and has seen that he's been wrong in it. And it's one brother said that it seems that the writing of Proverbs or Solomon's writing in Proverbs in the book of Ecclesiastes seems to be where the brother, it's his repenting of his evil way. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I can see that that could well be. But look at this attitude that he has in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 25. I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. Well, he did, didn't he? And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. Yet which my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, and they have sought out many inventions. You know, if I understand that right, Solomon says, you know, every now and then you'll find an honest man. But he said, I haven't found one woman honest. Now, is that the truth? The reason it's not the truth for Solomon is he chased after strange women. That's the reason he soured on it. The Scripture doesn't bear out that women are wicked. It doesn't bear out that Paul hated women and that to have a right attitude about women should be hated. Because of what Eve did in the garden, that women are just a lower degree. There's a place made for the woman, but there's some that believe that we believe those things. That's not so. Women, God has made the feminine gender for the right place and for the place that He's made for them. Women are no more wicked and evil than men, but may the Lord help us that we pursue righteousness and good things rather than wickedness in all of our case. Okay? Solomon has this bad attitude because of why? He looked in the wrong place for a spouse. There are good women, aren't there? Yeah. Yeah, we all know some of them that want to serve the Lord and follow the Lord and obey the Lord, that have submitted to the Lord in the Lord's way, that have repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. The Lord saved their souls, put them in churches, and they desire to do the will and the work of the Lord. They're faithful to their husbands. They use that power and virtue, that femininity that the Lord's given to that weaker gender physically, and they use that well for the help and blessing of their husband and for honor and praise and glory to the Lord. Okay? Solomon writes some things, and we're going to take a look at those next time. We wanted to see here about Herodias and her daughter. He had the misuse of that ability. We want to see here about Solomon and have this introduction and remember about Solomon and where he's coming from and what he writes, and namely this here in Ecclesiastes. But then the things that Solomon writes in Proverbs are true and are good. They're a good warning. And we can certainly benefit from them. Young people, well, older people, be faithful to your spouse. May the Lord help us that we be faithful to our spouse, that we keep ourselves. Husbands, keep yourself for your wife. Wives, keep yourselves for your husband. Now, those things of you and your body and that physically, they belong to your husband. They don't belong to anybody else. Men, we belong physically to our wives. Young people, you're without a spouse. Seek the face of the Lord in pursuing such and follow that which is good and that which is right according to the Lord. Use what the Lord's given you well and right and pleasing to God and not in a wicked way. Remember Solomon, our wicked way, your wicked way could have a 335-year effect. Yeah, even you. And may the Lord help us that we not use what the Lord's blessed us with, the place that the Lord's blessed us with, the ability, the power, the virtue, that we don't use that in a way where we can sin, we sin against our Maker, but rather that we seek the blessing and be faithful to Him and obey Him in those things.